A New Beginning, Part 1. You give them something to eat. That's what Jesus told his disciples 2,000 years ago, and that's what he is telling us. This is a new beginning for Pioneer Church. The Lord has taken us from surviving to thriving, and at a time when that is a most unlikely thing. Consider the circumstances and the times in which we live. First, there was a creeping incivility and hostility between people of different political ideologies, conservative and liberal, right and left. Then came the panic of pandemic, closely followed by the gnawing pain of isolation, the sudden loss of freedoms we used to take for granted, the crippling economic shutdown. Then came the protests and the riots. And as if this were not enough, fires tore through our communities and left a lingering smoke that turned our blue skies gray and our air close to unbreathable. And what was our situation before all this? Well, Pioneer Church had suffered a near-death experience, and would have, were it not for a handful of hardy souls who shepherded this church through that dark time. The Lord brought us back from the brink. We began experiencing growth from 10 to 20 to 30 to 40, sometimes to 50. Then came the darkness. The pandemic chased us outside, and the smoke chased us away. Well, surely that should have been the death of this church, as was the case of many others over the years in this town. I truly believe that was Satan's hope and intent, that would be the last nail in the coffin for Pioneer Church. And yet, here we are. And we're adding new members, not losing them. And why? Because a faithful Lord brought us faithful people. And no surprise, because one of the very fruits of the Holy Spirit is faithfulness. And you have been faithful. Faithful to pray, faithful to give, faithful to bear one another's burdens through this dread time. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. We have witnessed the truth of that personally. And those of us who show up to live meetings are just a fraction of our true number. Because for safety's sake, many stay away because of health risks. But we are all connected through the website, phone calls, and in other ways. Those who stay away will be back in due time, and still others will join us. And our future is brighter than ever. True, darkness still remains nearby. It lingers in various forms, but that's okay, because stars can't shine where they don't have the background of the night sky, and they shine brightest when the dark is darkest. And I believe that only in years to come will we fully understand and appreciate why all these things have happened to us, one after another. But it's enough to know that Jesus has been our shepherd through these dark times. And this is often the case with the Lord's mysterious workings. Often dark times for God's people precede times of fruitful labor and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So this scripture stands true. Those who sow in tears shall reap with songs of joy. Psalms 126, verse 5. Dark times humble us and make clear to us our limitations. They strip away whatever image we may have had of ourselves and show to us what really hides in our hearts, things we don't notice in good times. But trouble comes, and there it is. And we cry out, as Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, "Woe to me! I am undone. But then, just when we realize afresh our own unworthiness, that's when God says, okay, that person is ready to be called to some useful service in my kingdom. And so God has made us ready. But what of that scripture I quoted? You give them something to eat. Well, let's read that passage, starting with John chapter 6, in the middle of verse 1. Jesus crossed to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he'd performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Well, here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. Then, when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Now for the application. There was a great crowd of people. They were hungry. The disciples knew they did not have the supplies needed to feed them. They did an inventory amongst themselves and said, "The need of these people is great, and we have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. We have nothing for them." A correct assessment. Then they come up with a solution. Have Jesus send the people away. Well, that'll solve our problem. That's what we need. If people go away, the problem goes with them. Then we'll have our little meal of bread and fish. Made sense to them. But to their surprise and disbelief, Jesus said to them, "You give them something to eat." Are you kidding? "But Jesus, you don't understand. We don't have anything to feed them. What we have is very meager. The crowd is large, but the loaves are very small, and the fish are even smaller. The task is huge. In fact, it's impossible. We don't have what's needed, and we can't give what we don't have." Well, that realization is probably exactly what Jesus was looking for. So he says, in essence, that little bit you have, those few loaves and fewer fish, bring them to me, and I'll make what is very small to be large enough to fit the need, even larger. Notice he didn't make food for this crowd out of thin air. Well, he could have, but that's not the way he wants to work. Jesus always wants partnership with his people to solve the world's problems and fulfill people's needs. So he took what the disciples had, the disciples' contribution, and he just increased it. Now, we would prefer to go away and leave Jesus to fix everybody's problems by himself. But Jesus wants partnership. He wants us to be engaged and minister with what he gives us. They brought their little bread and fish to Jesus. He increased it. And notice this. He gave it back to them. Then they gave it to the people. There are 2 traps to Christian service, the trap of thinking that we have what's needed, our wisdom, our insight, our experience, our resources, so we don't need to pray and ask for help because we know what to do. That's trap number one. Trap number two is that we underestimate the gifts God gives us or can give us if we ask. And we think, well, I'm no match for this, and we just go and hide. But true service to God lies in the middle. We bring what we have to Jesus, and he gives us something to feed others with. You give them something to eat. Well, that speaks of service, not just coming to receive, but to give. In the context of church meetings, maybe it means giving a testimony of God's faithfulness, a word of encouragement. If you're musically gifted, perhaps a special song. It doesn't always have to be part of the worship service. Perhaps it's a personal word of encouragement to someone there, an appreciation for what they've said or done. And then there's the Bible study, where people get to participate and share with others what the Lord has shown them from the Word. There's the women's group. There's the worship and prayer time. And there is a whole world we interact with, family, friends, co-workers, neighbors. Study the scriptures. Read good devotionals. Have something to share with others. You give them something to eat. Now, not every problem is ours to fix. Some things are just a distraction. And it takes experience and discernment and sometimes prayer to know the difference. And for many things, it is wisdom to walk away from them. As the proverb says, like one who grabs a stray dog by the ears is someone who rushes into a quarrel not their own. That's Proverbs 26:17. But this matter was clear. These were people who were there at the invitation of Jesus, and it was the disciples' responsibility that they be fed. If it is truly our task to do, let us bring to Jesus the need, along with the knowledge of our inability to meet that need, and Jesus will make up the difference. And the result? Everyone was satisfied. Everyone had been fed, and fed to the full, fed to overflowing. So shall it be for us as we engage in the service of Jesus in our own generation. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit clothed immortal wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.